Scripture is your sacred and holy word for us, Lord. Bear with me in my attempt to honor those people Paul asks us to accept as members of your church. It's clear that the members of your church are far and wide, and we live in all corners of the earth here in Haines and the furthest reaches of our planet, and we are being asked to welcome them as brothers and sisters in Christ. Let Dana further expand this scripture and share with us his thoughts from Romans 16. I commend to you, Sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risk their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friends Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Unia, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Staches. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the house of Aristobulus. Greet Herodion, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa. Those women have worked hard for the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me. Greet Asuncritus, Phaegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss, and all the churches of Christ sends greetings.
Thank you, Jim. I said, you know, the good news is I'd like you to be the liturgist. The bad news is Romans 16. And if I say some names differently, Jim's right. Just go with Jim. All right. Well, happy Thanksgiving week to you. It's going to be a great week. Anytime we're encouraged and prodded to give thanks to God, we're headed the right direction. And the message today is going to be a little different because even though this occasion in our national calendar is about thanking God, I'm going to be thanking you, hoping that by the end of the message it turns to thanks to God. I first want to ask a question. Have you ever been caught off guard by somebody's gratitude? Jesus had that. He cleansed 10 lepers, and then the one leper that had a racial problem with his race, the Samaritan, came back and said thank you. That was a big deal. It caught him off guard. I was caught off guard in 2015. I had been supporting a ministry called Compassion International for many, many years, and I had several Compassion kids. I still pray for them by name. I hope I haven't forgot any of them. But all of a sudden, out of the blue, I got a new Compassion child, and the first letter he sent to me, I tried to find it. I kept a folder of his letters because they were so glorious. But instead of, you know, this is my cat and this is my pig and I play soccer, he said thank you in a way that just knocked me off my feet. He said, I know God sent you to me. I know we're going to see each other face to face someday. And from that letter to every letter to the emails that I received last week, this young man has been bursting with gratitude. He graduated out of the program, he learned English, and he found my name on the internet, and he found you. And he's told me to tell you greetings from Harrison Kinyanjuli in Kenya. And Harrison, greetings if you're watching. He's been watching church. He likes the music. He likes the sermon. He's become a preacher. He sent me, I'm not on Facebook anymore, but he sent me these Facebook videos, and I could see faintly in the background he's just preaching up a storm. His church is 3.5 hours long, 2 hours of singing and 1.5 hours sermon. So we'll be slightly under that in our Presbyterian service today. All right, so I say all that to inspire you that by the time I'm done working with you the way I want to work with you in this message, that you'll begin to have a thirst or a hope for the experience of walking into the kingdom of God, maybe literal streets of gold, right? Just walk on those streets of gold. And somebody may come up to you and say, thank you. Thank you for something that you did not knowing you were doing anything. You were just hanging on. You just put your hand to the plow and didn't look back and tried to keep following the Lord through thick and thin. But it ended up making a difference in somebody's life. And that's what I see in this list, these greetings that Paul has for these people. So what I've done is I've made a list of thank you triggers, all the kinds of things that triggered this greeting in Paul. He never says thank you, thank you, thank you. But the way he says greet so-and-so is just overflowing with gratitude. So here are the thank you triggers. Being a saint. Now, you didn't hear that in the NIV translation, but when it says greet Phoebe or something like that, receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people, that his people is hagios, which means holy, saints. It's translated saints in these other letters that Paul wrote. Being a saint, being a benefactor, again, Phoebe, being a co-worker, risking your life for a friend, hosting the church in your house, being an early adopter like Epaphras, who was the first convert in Asia, working very hard. Several people did. Mary was one. Sharing in the sufferings of the apostolic, the ones that were in prison with Paul. Being outstanding, like Andronicus and Junia, I think. Being a dear friend. Faithfulness to Christ that stands the test. Even shared heritage, my fellow Jews, Paul said a couple times. And being a parent to a saint, being a father to the fatherless, a mother to the motherless, those are all triggers for Paul's overflowing gratitude. They didn't know when they were getting that letter that they made it in the Bible. For every generation until Jesus comes back, associated with their name would be those deeds that they did, the character that they had. So I'm going to do something I've never done before. First of all, I've never preached this passage. I've only heard it preached once. And that was at the First Presbyterian Church of Seattle, but it wasn't the Presbyterians that preached it. It was Mark Driscoll of Mars Hill. He preached an hour-long sermon on this after a rock band worship time and people standing and singing a long worship service with a lot of ordinary, young, Seattle-looking people that never came to our Presbyterian service. But it was inspiring, and that's what made me familiar with it, to bring it to you. All right. So I want to say thank you for being a saint. Thank you for being a saint. Holiness is not something that you can earn for yourself. It's a gift that God has given you. God has given you the gift of holiness. But thank you. Thank you for being a saint. When you know it and you embrace it and you accept it, and your life becomes beautiful. Thank you for being a benefactor. The Hebrew word that connects with this is the word goel, which is like redeemer or helper, a patron. It's even connected with legal terms in Greek culture, like a defense attorney or a prosecuting attorney on your side. It's referred to this woman, and in Greek culture, women who are wealthy could become benefactors supporting local civic or religious causes. So she was somebody that supported Paul. That support could have been encouragement. It could have been money. But I want to say thank you for being a benefactor, because you're supporting the kingdom of God with your life, the way you live, when you leave the worship service to go to the community, and people know where you go to church, and they know how you handle criticism. They know how you handle criticism about other people when you're hearing it. They know how you handle disappointments and joys. They know what you invest in. They know what you believe in. They know what you care about and how you treat people. And when you go into the community and support the cause of Christ and support the kingdom of God by your lives, you're a benefactor. Thank you. Thank you for being co-workers. Not just co-workers and helping with the music or leading worship or the committee meetings or the elder and deacon meetings, but co-workers in the work of Jesus. And I said in a sermon not too long ago that praying is the greater work. Thank you for praying. Thank you for praying. Praying, Lord, help me. Or praying, Lord, help them. Thank you for reading the Bible. Your mission statement here, I don't know if this Thanksgiving one has it on here, but it says on the ordinary mundane bulletins, to know, live, and share Jesus. Thank you for knowing Jesus, to seeking him in prayer, reading the Bible, getting to know him, learning about Christian theology, talking to Christians who know the Lord and learning more about him. Thank you for living him, as I just mentioned, the way that you handle yourself in this small town. And thank you for sharing Jesus. Every time that you do something with your name associated with him that moves somebody one inch closer to opening their heart to becoming a disciple of Jesus and following him, you're sharing Jesus. And sometimes you've said it boldly and plainly. Hey, would you like to learn about the Lord? Or have you discovered faith in Christ? Do you want to hear about the Bible, a Christian faith? Thank you for being co-workers. Thank you for risking your life for a friend. This could be everything from being a parent with a baby, right? You know, the foundation of your entire health is your sleep. And when that baby is crying all night and you're up feeding the baby or changing the baby or poking someone to feed and change the baby, you know, what you're doing to care for that child is taking from you and giving to the child, and it keeps on going right through college. Keeps on going. Yeah, and farther. And farther. But that's, you know, risking your own surplus to help somebody else. Sometimes you've risked your reputation to clarify some untrue gossip. Sometimes you have literally stood in the way of physical danger to protect somebody else. Thank you, risk takers. Some of you took a risk on giving to the building project. It's actually going to happen. Praise, I believe it. With God's help, it's going to happen. I handed plans to a contractor this week so they could bid. I'm going to do more in-person visits with contractors. You might have felt that that was a risk. Thank you for taking that kind of risk. Thank you for hosting the church in your house, hosting small group Bible studies, hosting visitors who are followers of Christ, even your own family members. And thank you for bringing your hosting here, the incredible meals that were part of the Alpha dinner. It's like artwork. I couldn't wait to see what was going to happen each Thursday night. You're bringing your hosting here. Thank you. Thank you for being early adopters. Epinetus was the first convert in Asia, and some of you have been the first to sign up to help, to, you know, bake a turkey or to decorate the church or to join a small group or to host a small group or to be at a service that's never been held before. Thank you, early adopters, for being the first. Thank you for working hard, working very hard. It's mentioned a couple times, and Mary was one that worked very hard. Thank you for working very hard on the burger feed at the Legion. Thank you for working hard on the Chilcat Community Foundation. Thank you to Dave Kaneen. He put these speakers in. He gave them to us. He wired them up and hooked them up. And he put in more sweat and hours on the woodpile this season than every other volunteer combined. I know there's going to be people I'm leaving out, you know. But thank you. Thank you for your hard work at home, your hard work in being patient in relationships, your hard work in helping people in need when it comes up and changes your plans. Thank you for sharing in the sufferings of the apostle or the apostolic, the leaders of the church, those who are sent to share the good news, like the first apostles. Thank you when people have cooled off towards you when they find out what you believe. We don't really want to hear your opinions here. We believe science. You know, I'm just joking like that. That was something I mentioned last week. But sometimes there are good scientists who have been deplatformed because of their, you know, belief in God. Their belief in an intelligent designer. You may have experienced that in a family relationship or in a friendship. You've been deplatformed because of your convictions or your associations. That actually hurts. It hurts to be cooled off a little bit and to be, you know, given the message subtly that your opinions aren't so important because you're of a certain class of people that shouldn't have a voice. Yeah, I think I'll just say thank you and move on. Thank you for being outstanding. Well, I'd like to be like a modern parent and give everybody a ribbon. You all get a trophy. You're all outstanding. Maybe this is the outstanding church in town, but then all the churches in town are outstanding. I love them all. But obviously, Paul had something in mind when he said that... Who was it that was outstanding? Andronicus and Eunia. Thank you for being outstanding. You know, there are some who pray with greater sacrifice, with greater humility, with greater transparency before the Lord, with greater fervency for the lost or the hurting. There are some who give with greater sacrifice. It hurts them more. They have less, or they have a lot and they give till it hurts. There are some who encourage more thoroughly, more consistently. I'm going to interrupt this flow for just a second to tell you about my senior awards banquet in seminary. I've mentioned this before, and it'll come up again. It's a recurring, you know, trauma or happy thing, whatever, however you want to call it. I loved seminary. I didn't expect to love it. I put it off for many years. I thought it was going to be like the root canal I had on Friday. Glory, hallelujah. But I loved seminary, and I did it for the love of it, and I enjoyed it. I lived a normal life. I fished still a little bit. I took care of my little kids and hung out with friends. And I studied, but I didn't, you know, really try hard to get awards. And I wished in the moment of the awards banquet that maybe I would have considered that possibility. Because I didn't realize that I'd feel a little bit jealous or envious when I saw my friends getting preaching awards and scholarship awards, studying, you know, student awards. And it made me think, all right, well, there's another awards banquet coming, and that's the judgment day. And I still have time for that one. I still have time for that one. Hallelujah. I need some more time for that one. But, you know, this whole message, all these thank yous to these particular things that I'm just pulling from this section of Scripture, they may make us feel at times like, ooh, I don't think that's describing me, and I missed that one, and this is frustrating. When are they going to get to the part that talks about me? Don't worry, my friends. God knows you and sees you. God knows how He made you. He knows your point A and your point B. And He can say, that's outstanding progress, that's outstanding faith, that's outstanding courage, that's outstanding patience. And nobody else may see it, but God sees it. And He has a heart that wants to reward, that wants to honor. Even though this is coming from Paul, it's coming from the heart that God gave to Paul. So thank you for being outstanding. Thank you for being dear friends. I read recently in a really good book that somebody gave me about the things that friendship can do. God made us for community, and churches are built on friendship. Befriending people grows a church. When people come and go, they go knowing that no friend is really going to be hurt that they're leaving. But when people come and stay, they drag themselves and go again and give it one more try because they know their friends will be disappointed if they're not there. That's a part of the way God made us. But friendship doesn't only build churches, it heals souls. People struggle. People have pain. People have trauma. And the more struggle and pain and trauma they have, the harder they are to be friends with. But some of you have befriended people and stayed friends for decades. Long times, through good and through bad. Thank you. Thank you for being dear friends. Thank you for befriending me. Thank you for befriending Cheryl. I could open a bakery with all the baked goods that have been given. I could retire if I sold them all to the cruise ship people. I'm very thankful. Thank you for being dear friends. Thank you for fidelity to Christ that has stood the test. Some of you made it through your test. You had cancer. You had chemo. You didn't know if you would live or die, but you're here again today. You stood through that test. Some of you stood through the test of middle school. You know, it's not a cakewalk for everybody. Haynes may be the exception. I don't know. Maybe it's different here, but some of you, no, it's not. It is not. Some of you stood the test of middle school. My heavens, how did we make it through that? Some of you stood the test of a quarter-life crisis. You became a young adult. You needed a job. You had no idea what you were going to do. Midlife crisis. Retirement crisis. Some of you are in your test. You're hard-pressed by temptation. We have two main kinds of temptation. One is a seductive type that just says, come here, come here, come here. Jealousy, lust, greed. And the other is the violent type that says, I'm going to get you. The intimidating type of temptation. And you have to stand up and courage to it. And some of you, day after day, are facing that temptation. Falling, getting back up. Resisting, yielding not to that temptation, not letting go of Christ, not letting go of your hope, not letting go of faith, not letting go of joy, and you're making it through. You're standing the test. God bless you and thank you. Thank you for your shared heritage. You saw these names. They sounded really Greek and Roman, right? They weren't Hebrew-sounding names. You didn't have any, I don't know, what's a Hebrew sounding name? Joseph. You didn't have Joseph in there. And Paul said a couple times, my fellow Jews. So that's because most of the folks in this church in Rome were Gentiles. And, you know, Paul was a minority. There may be times when you're with a group of people and you notice somebody's kind of on the outside, but you have something in common with them. And you start to talk and you make a friend and you say, oh, I have that too. That's where I am too. Come, you belong here. So thank you. When you've included people, you've found common ground. And thank you. Let me just put this out just plainly and literally. When your nationality and heritage has made you different from the group around you, but you reached out and somebody else felt the same way and you pulled them in and said, you belong. Or you saw that somebody felt on the outside and you said, we all have heritage in Christ. We're all in the family of Jesus. Thank you. And thank you, last and not least, for being a father to the fatherless and a mother to the motherless. This is one of the highest points of God's heart for righteousness. When Job was being accused of being an awful human being because awful things are happening to him, he said, no. When was there a fatherless child that I was not a father to? I put clothes on their back. I fed them. I made sure they were okay. And you may not know when you've done that exactly. Is that a fire alarm? Smoke alarm? It's food. Oh, food is done. Food is done. There's no need to evacuate. We're going to continue with the sermon. The food is done. So father to fatherless. Well, you know, sometimes it's very literal, like Dave and Kathy at the Assembly of God, they have so many foster children that they've fostered. But sometimes it's just being there for somebody who's feeling a spirit of orphanhood, feeling spiritually like an orphan. And you came along and covered them, sheltered them, and gave them what they needed. Thank you for that. That's the list that comes from the people from 2,000 years ago in the Roman church, and they were ordinary people. They were dealing with people disliking them for their faith. They were dealing with temptation. They were dealing with weariness. They were dealing with division in all these churches. And they all lived in dry cabins. No electricity, no plumbing. They had all the ancient world things to deal with too. And you and I have similar struggles. But as you're living out your faith, just trying to hold on, just keeping your hands on the plow. Jesus said, whoever puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy of the kingdom of God. You just decided, I'm going to walk with Jesus all the way. Just doing that is going to make a lasting impact. The Christians of this time were credited with or accused of turning the world upside down. But what was happening is they were turning the world right side up. God made this world to bless it. That's why he blessed people and said, fill the world and multiply it. Unfortunately, we brought a curse on the whole earth. But because Jesus became a curse on the cross, and because Jesus offered himself to come and live in us in the Holy Spirit and live as the church, the body of Christ on earth, he can do what only he can do and turn that curse into a blessing. That's what God is trying to do for you while you simply hang on, while you simply live out the basics of your Christian faith. So now the challenge for this week, it's like when the teacher says there's no homework, nothing to do at home this week. You're going to meet the challenge right here in class. I just want you to join me in prayer and we'll give thanks to God. Okay? Well, thank you, Heavenly Father. You are so good. Your heart is so kind. You're so quick to bless. You're so slow to rebuke. And we thank you for making us saints. Thank you for giving us a chance to support and work and befriend and host and adopt the plans that you have and share in the sufferings of your people. Lord, give us a heart to be outstanding in our humble sacrifice and obedience and gratitude to you. Lord, none of the graces that have been described in this passage of Scripture are graces that come from the flesh. They all come from your Spirit, and that is your gift. So we give thanks to you and pray that you would bless this nation by the hearts and homes that are touched by your Spirit. Let the righteousness that is your righteousness permeate from rooms like this into every street corner. Lord, we simply want to hang on. We simply want to be faithful, to trust and obey. But we acknowledge you as a source of power that turns the world right side up. Give us your grace to take more steps to keep going in the power of your Spirit. Amen.